fiscal cliff tax hikes, not just for rich folks.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison in for Jeremy Hobson. There is finally a fiscal cliff deal after a lot of suspense. The House approved it late yesterday. As you've probably heard, income taxes will go up on individuals making over $400,000. Chances are you don't make that much, and you might think you're not paying more tax this year, but you probably will. That's because the payroll tax, money taken out of your paycheck for Social Security, is going up, even if you're not rich. Marketplace's Dan Bobkoff joins us to explain. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
So let's take somebody making $50,000 a year. How is their paycheck going to be different now?
Well, the hike on the Social Security payroll tax is at 2%. So if you make 50 grand, you'll have $1,000 less over the course of the year. That works out to about $20 a week.
So what's the larger impact of that money no longer being in people's paychecks, no longer in their pockets to spend?
Well, estimates say it could cut over $100 billion to the U.S. economy. That's over 0.5% of GDP. And, you know, as we said, this is about $20 a week for someone making 50 grand. So maybe they're not going out to eat. Maybe they're not everything from auto repairs to coffee in the morning. All that has a real impact on the economy that is trying to recover still.
Now, unlike income tax rates or spending cuts, we didn't hear as much about this during the fiscal cliff debate, at least out in public. So why wasn't there more support for extending this?
This was a big debate last year, and I think part of the problem here is the stimulus word. That's become a dirty word in Washington. President Obama, some people say he felt he couldn't get this from the Republicans, and so he stopped fighting for it, trying to put his energy somewhere else. And I think, there's going to be a new debate over the course of the year about whether we need some other kind of measure to get the economy back in gear. But the payroll tax is probably not going to be on the table.
Okay, Marketplace's Dan Bobkoff. Thank you.
Thank you.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
Anheuser-Busch InBev hopes federal regulators will approve its $20 billion bid to own Mexican brewer Grupo Modelo, maker of Corona and Pacifico. Marketplace's David Gura takes a look at what this could do to America's changing beer market.
Anheuser-Busch InBev is the world's largest beer maker, but given the explosion in beers available, the average consumer might think there's plenty of competition. At grocery stores and at bars like this one, called Church Key in Washington, D.C., you'll notice there are more brands of beer than there used to be. But there's a catch. Greg Engert is the so-called beer director here. He's kind of like a sommelier, but for beer.
How many people know that Stella, Leffa, and Hoegaarden are a part of the same company that produces Budweiser now?
Barry Lynn is a fellow at the New America Foundation, and over the years, he argues Anheuser-Busch InBev and the second largest beer company, Miller Coors, have created a monopoly. Neither company replied to our requests for interviews.
They have this remarkable ability to make it seem as if this is the most competitive of marketplaces.
What is competitive, Greg Engert says, is the craft beer market. More demand has led to more breweries.
They're saying that 500 are going to open next year, and then there's over 1,000 in planning.
But craft beer accounts for just 6% of all the beer sold in the U.S. 90% comes from Anheuser-Busch InBev and Miller Coors. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up around the world after the fiscal cliff deal went through the Congress. The Asian markets that were open closed higher. European stocks are also rising. Right now, both the UK and Germany shares there are up around 2%.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
The soap opera All My Children might find a second life. ABC killed it in 2011 because of low ratings, but just as soap characters come back from the dead, the show may have a new run online, Marketplace's Queena Kim reports.
In the 70s, daytime soaps were one of TV's biggest moneymakers. And All My Children was home to one of its most popular characters, played by actor Susan Lucci.
I am Erica Kane!
Jamie Giddens is the editorial director of Daytime Confidential, a blog that reports on the business of soap operas.
I got hooked on soaps because I grew up with my grandparents, and older people are a huge demographic for soaps, especially older African Americans.
And that aging demographic is in part responsible for the soap's demise on network TV. When ABC canceled All My Children last year, it had an audience of 2.5 million. In its heyday, its audience was 9 million. While the ratings don't pencil out for network TV, the buzz is the TV production company Prospect Park thinks All My Children can make money online as a web soap opera series. Prospect Park didn't return calls for comment, but Brad Adgate, a TV analyst with Horizon Media, says it's one of a handful of companies that are looking to experiment with giving old TV shows new life on the web.
You know, it can make a go of it.
Adgate says on the web, a weekly audience of 1 million is impressive, and advertisers are willing to pay for them. Still, questions remain. Will older TV watchers migrate to the web? And can the web version of All My Children attract young women? It's an audience the soaps have lost.
Younger females are no longer home watching television. They're working, and if they are home, they're probably with their children.
Jamie Giddens, the director of Daytime Confidential, says All My Children will also have to rely on more than advertising. Advertisers don't pay nearly as much on the web as they do on TV.
They're going to have to come up with out-of-the-box ways to monetize, whether it be through product placement. They're going to have to get into the DVD market.
Ann Giddens says they're going to have to get actor Susan Lucci to continue in her role as Erica Kane. Since leaving All My Children, she's gotten steady work elsewhere on TV, and it remains to be seen whether she can be lured onto the small screen of the web. I'm Queenie Kim for Marketplace.
And finally, since Congress blew the fiscal cliff deadline, you might think the bill would lack some of the typical add-ons that lawmakers love to slide into legislation. But congressmen still managed to find time to stuff in all sorts of goodies. The deal contains everything from money for NASCAR to Hollywood to rum distillers. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.